This is How Sound, the backstory to great radio storytelling. How Sound is co-produced by PRX and Transom. I'm Rob Rosenthal. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you get a spare second, would you mind leaving a review at iTunes? Reviews help us reach more people. Thanks a lot for helping us spread the word. I've tried sound design, and frankly, I think I suck at it. Something about it eludes me. When I add sounds in order to enhance a story, visually or sonically or something, it sounds inorganic. It sounds sound effecty, cheesy. And to be clear, I'm not referring to ambient sound or active tape for a story I reported. I think I'm okay putting that to work in a piece. No, specifically, I'm talking about adding sound from another source. In film, it's got a fancy name. It's called non-diegetic sound. It's audio from a sound effects library, for instance, instead of from where the film is being made. Like the sound design in the opening to Crime Town. That's a podcast from Gimlet. The first season focused on crime and politics in Providence, Rhode Island.
Question: did he kick you? Answer: yes. Question: where did he kick you? Answer: on my right chin. Question: did he try to burn you with a cigarette? Answer: yes. Question: did you have a cigarette burn on your face after the incident? Answer: yes, in my left eye. Question: at some point, did the mayor swing a fireplace log at you? Answer: yes.
Such a great opening. I mean, I was in right from the get-go, not only because of the writing and voicing, but because of the sound design.
The first episode of the show took months to make. The first episode was by far the hardest to make.
Matt Boll is a lead engineer at Gimlet. He's worked on Heavyweight and Reply All, Startup, and of course, Crime Town.
In a lot of ways, we were like coming up with the reason that you are hearing sound design, you know? And then as the show progressed, we just kind of developed a language around it, you know? We all kind of knew where sound design would come in and where it wouldn't.
Matt says the first scene, the one we just listened to, offers a good example of a keep-it-simple approach to sound design. He says initially, that scene was far too overproduced.
We kind of did all these things. Like, we did people punching each other, and we did scuffling around and fighting, and all these kind of, like, realistic scenes of this fight happening. And it always came out just, like, way too obvious, you know? And it just felt a little, I don't know what the word is, it just wasn't. It was too over the top in the sense that you were like, yeah, I get it. There, he hit someone, you know? And so we just kept iterating on it. And while we were iterating on it, I was building music to it. And we were doing that in tandem. And it wasn't working. And finally, what ended up happening was we took out most of that and we left in just this breathing sound effect. So it was just this guy breathing really heavy.
Question: where did he kick you? Answer: on my right chin.
And then the music was doing kind of these more violent, not violent, it was doing these more like percussive things that kind of alluded to or represented maybe some of the actual, you know, hitting that was going on.
Question: did you have a cigarette burn on your face after the incident? Answer: yes, in my left eye.
And the combination of, like, someone breathing, which was a sound effect, and the music working together ended up painting the picture much better than us literally making a fight scene.
Matt thinks of this as a representational approach to sound design, where the sound is suggestive rather than duplicative. He says it almost always works better because using the exact sound risks creating that sound effecty feel I struggle with. Or put another way, he says you don't just want to throw in the sound of an airplane merely because someone says the word airplane. But then there's that cigarette in the opening scene. What about that?
Question: did he try to burn you with a cigarette?
So to your notion that just because someone says airplane, should we hear airplane? There's this thing in multimedia production. They talk about a duck. Say a duck, see a duck. So if someone says, you know, a duck, you know, you suddenly see a picture of a duck. And so in radio, the equivalent would be someone says duck, and then we hear a duck. Only in this case, it's a cigarette. Someone says cigarette burn, and then we hear a cigarette burn. And so I'm just wondering, is that too representational? Is that too obvious? Or does that fit in with your idea that there shouldn't necessarily be, you know, say airplane, hear airplane?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with you on some level that, like, you can run into the danger of doing the see, say thing, no matter how hard you try. And, it's, you know, perhaps we did do that there in a way that was a little off-putting. Although that one specifically, I just remember loving the sound of that cigarette burn so much that I wasn't bothered too much by it because the quality of it was just really nice. So it's hard to create hard and fast rules around this stuff. It's a feeling sometimes, and sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't.
April 20th, 1968. A car pulls up to Pannone's Meat Market. Two men, Pro Lerner and Bobby Fairbrothers, sit up front, wearing masks.
Pro Lerner had a double-barrel 12-gauge shotgun, and Bobby Fairbrothers had a Springfield rifle.
That's former Providence Police Detective Robert Stevenson. The gunmen get out of the car and cross the street. Inside the market are the targets. Two wise guys, Rudy Marfio and Anthony Millay.
When Lerner came in with a double-barrel shotgun, shot Marfio first. Bobby Fairbrothers got so scared he shot into the floor, and Pro Lerner stepped over to the next aisle and shot and killed Millay. And out they went. The masks and the guns and everything, they dumped down on Comerford Street, down on the freight yards.
There's a scene later in the first episode where there's a robbery and a murder. A car pulls up and rifles are cocked. There's a few shots. One of the shots is a 12-gauge shotgun, and the other one is a Springfield rifle. Did you use the actual sound of a 12-gauge and a Springfield in that moment?
One we got wrong and one we got right. And we were called on it.
How important is accuracy?
It's a really good question. It's hard for me to answer that question. You know, Because what I feel that I'm doing is like representational in a lot of ways, because we didn't have recordings of these things happening. Obviously, we didn't have a recording of someone going and stealing and shooting up a store, and so we had to recreate it. The story itself is very, very rigorously fact checked. When it came to the sound design, there was a bit more of an artistic license. You know, you're representing something rather than trying to be completely accurate. And in fact, it kind of goes back to the thing we're talking about. Being completely accurate is not always the thing that sounds nice. You know, it sometimes can sound a little heavy-handed or whatever. So, but I went back in and actually changed it to the right sound. It was just kind of like, oh, oops, that was weird. We probably should have been more careful.
In that scene, there's a shot fired and then somebody groans.
When Lerner came in with a double-barrel shotgun, shot Marfio first. Bobby Fairbrothers got so scared he shot into the floor, and Pro Lerner stepped over to the next aisle and shot and killed Millay.
Where'd you get the groan?
The groan, I think, was just a sound effect, and I think that was one that I wasn't too keen on. I actually like recreations of with actual human voices really bother me. I think they always kind of sound canned, especially when it's put up against like actual people talking, you know, If like you hear a groan and then the next thing you hear is a piece of tape where someone's actually having a conversation, just shines a light on how, you know, how recreated it actually was. So, but everyone wanted to keep it in, so we kept it in, you know, but I typically shy away from that.
When deciding whether a section of a story would benefit from sound design, Matt says there are several considerations. One is emotion.
Emotionally heavy moments, more often than not, worked better without it. Because if you let the person tell that story with the weight of their own emotion behind it, and you don't get in the way, then it's really powerful.
Another consideration is length. He says typically sound design shouldn't run long because you want the tape to be the focus of the story, not the production. Most of the sound design moments in the first episode of Crimetown were about a minute or two long, like this scene in an airplane.
Buddy and Stevenson grab the family, the priest, and the Polaroid and head off to catch a plane back to Providence. Who should be at the airport but Raymond Jr. and his sidekick? Turns out, they're all on the same flight home.
The plane levels off at about 35,000 or whatever, and I look back up the aisle, and there's Raymond Patriarca Jr., and they kept looking down. And I kept looking back up, and they kept looking down. So about the third or fourth time, I give them the finger when I turn around.
When they land at Providence Airport, the press is waiting.
Matt says deciding to sound design that scene was easy. It wasn't heavy emotionally. It was brief. It also had music.
We had this piece of music that sounded very heisty. It sounded very Ocean's 11 or whatever. It's always easier, in my opinion, to build sound design underneath some sort of musical composition. It doesn't have to be like, you know, a song, but some sort of rhythmic composition, some sort of harmonic elements that are happening together, that resonate together, that, in my opinion, is just always easier to build something underneath, because that musical element just, it really is a glue that can tie a lot of stuff together. A big consideration was like, is this necessary here at all? You know, is it really helping the story? Like, we want, ultimately, the story is the rule, you know, and that's what you're trying to do, is whether you're using music or sound design, if it's not telling the story better, then you probably should just get out of the way with that stuff, right?
How do you know? How do you know when it is?
You iterate on it like 20 times until you find it. Honestly, that's one of the biggest parts of it, is like, it's a craft, right? Like, you just have to keep trying it until it works. And I know that's not like it doesn't feel like a satisfying answer, but that really is how we would do it. It was just like, well, let's try it here. Okay, let's listen. Does that sound good? Does that work? Do you think that that's helping the story? No, it's kind of distracting, right? Like I want to hear this guy saying something, and it's important what he's saying. Take that piece of music out. All I'm doing is listening to the music. That's not a good idea. Okay, let's take that out. Okay, what if we moved it down here? Yeah, when you move it down here, do you think you could start sound design here? Well, let's try it. Okay, we'll try that. You know, put this in. Is that working? Is that helping the story? And it was constant. It was a constant iterating on these things until they felt like a composition, right? Until they felt like they were a whole and not different parts that were just popping in, you know?
Well, there's no quadratic equation where you can plug in the elements and an answer pops out. It's basically what you're saying is what Duke Ellington said, which is, if it sounds good, it is good.
Yeah, which is a frustrating answer, and an answer I find frustrating too. But there's just a lot of truth to it, you know? Maybe it's frustrating because it just makes the person who hears that like, well, what are you just saying? It's magical? No, it's not magical. It takes a long, long, long time. And you have to really work to get it right. But when it's right, you know it. I mean, it's pretty easy to hear.
Matt Boll, lead engineer and a music composer at Gimlet Media. Matt says another season of Crimetown is on the way. I think Matt was a good place for me to start trying to figure out how to make sound design not cheesy. Next, I want to talk to Jad Abumrad at Radiolab. He's agreed to chat sometime soon. Hopefully, he can unravel more of the mystery of sound design for me. There are many resources about sound design at transom.org. I've included some links at the post for this episode of How Sound. How Sound is produced in the Radio Center of the Universe, Woods Hole, Massachusetts. John Barth at PRX takes a shot of whiskey before he reads my scripts. He should probably throw back too. And WCAI graciously lets me record in their studios. I'm Rob Rosenthal. Thanks for listening to How Sound, the backstory to great radio storytelling.
And transom.org.